produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and welcome to The Living Room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I am so glad that you tuned in today. You're going to be blessed. Today, on this Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about relationship. Now, I know you think that just by the mention of that word, that this is going to be about, you know, how to keep your relationship alive, or maybe how to attract the right person into your life. But no, what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about your love relationship with God. We're going to talk about the most important relationship that any of us could ever have. And so you know what we say in the living room, pull up a chair, get your iPad, your iPhone, your Bible, get in a comfortable space, because we're going to be talking about your love relationship with God. Now, when I think about relationship with God, I can reflect back on when I was very new, and I had not long given my life to the Lord, accepted Jesus into my heart. And I had no real expectation about what that relationship was going to look and feel like. You know, I wasn't raised in the church, and so I really didn't have a good point of reference about what it meant to develop a relationship with God. And if I can be honest, I can say that, you know, I thought about this huge God who was way up there somewhere. And then little old me, confused and you know, in wonderment about my relationship with him and accepting him into my heart. And I'm all the way down here, and he's all the way up there. And there seemed to be such a distance between us. And so I'm so grateful that I continue to attend a Bible teaching, Bible believing church. And there I got a chance to meet and know some real people who had real relationships with God. And as I began to spend time with them and talk with them and hear about their experiences, I realized that having a relationship with God was what he always wanted, that is what he sent his son Jesus to die for, to be in relationship with me. And that as I observed these people, some of them were my age and some of them were a little older than I was, I began to hear about how they talked to God. And guess what? God talked back to them. how they could hear from God. That was so amazing to me. I was so curious about it that I started asking questions like, you mean you ask God a question and he answered you? You mean you prayed about this one day and the next day it happened? So these were all of the things that I discovered, that you could have a real relationship with God and that it could be an intimate relationship. And so that discovery is something that I want to share with you today, because I believe that having an intimate relationship with God is something that so many Christians miss out on. I really believe that people spend their entire lives going to church, serving, participating in programs, singing in the choir, doing all of these activities, and they still don't have the benefit and the treasure and the privilege even of enjoying an intimate relationship with God. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds like, you know, one can't possibly be saying that you could be in church literally your entire life and not have an intimate relationship with God. But let me just tell you, it is absolutely true, and it's absolutely possible, and it's absolutely happening in a lot of places. And so tonight, what I want to do is to talk to you about how you can develop an intimate relationship with God. I want to start by talking about some of the misconceptions that many people have, you know, embraced and accepted that just simply aren't true. The first misconception is that the relationship with God is one-sided. In other words, that we need God, but that God isn't interested in a relationship with us. And can I tell you for the record that nothing could be further from the truth? Listen, he has always wanted a relationship with us, and so much so that he instituted something called volition, or another word would be your will, so that you would literally have to choose him versus him making us like robots, where, you know, he would program us so that it wouldn't be a decision of our will. It would just simply be something that we did automatically. No, listen, he wants an authentic relationship with you, so much so that he won't force himself upon you. He won't impose his will upon you. He wants every one of us to choose, to decide to have a relationship with him. And because he wants it to be our choice, because that's the best kind of love, is when someone chooses to love you. See, when you mandate or make someone do something, it's never to be compared with the kind of love that comes from a choice. That's how much he wants a relationship with us. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the ultimate price for our sins, and also so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He reconciled the sin of man on the cross through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be able to be in relationship with him through his son. And so why would he go through all of that and then not desire to be in relationship with us? I know. It doesn't make sense, does it? So he is absolutely, positively interested in a relationship with you. The second misconception that I want to deal with tonight is that intimacy with God is easy. Let me tell you something. Intimacy with God is something that does require work. One, because you need to be committed to spending time with him. And that's not always easy because we live in a world where there are so many things competing for our attention. I think that we are becoming an attention deficit nation because our attention spans are so short. We are so accustomed to getting everything instantly, to getting everything without having to wait for it, that when it comes to building intimacy, we think that that should be quick too. But when you consider that you are coming to a place where you need to be transparent with him, that you really need to be in a place where you are able to be naked and unashamed, that is when that intimacy then is a part of your relationship with him. And that, my friend, is work. The discipline of spending time with him, the ability to get past the barriers and the walls so that you can literally be transparent before him. Yes, that's work. And so intimacy is work, but it is so worth it because you are getting close to the one who is in charge of everything. And there is no better use of your time. There's no better use of your energy than to spend time with the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so those are two huge misconceptions that I want to deal with. And then now what I'd like to do is just go over a few passages of scripture that I think will help to shed some light on this issue of intimacy with God. The first thing I want to say is that in Psalm 23, familiar passage of scripture, one that we probably memorized as children if you grew up in the church. And it is one that talks about relationship. And so David is talking about his relationship with God. And he starts out by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." One translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And then he goes on to paint a picture. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." You can see in that passage that David is talking about someone whom he is in relationship with. And because David used to be a shepherd, because David understands that shepherds know each sheep and they actually give them names, that in the natural, shepherds are so keen about the sheep that they will, as the Bible says, leave the 99 to go after the one. That shepherds inspect the sheep and know when they've been wounded and know when they need to be cleaned, or if they're having some sort of difficulty, or if some sort of parasite has gotten on them, because that's how intimate they are with the sheep. Shepherds also have the distinct sound that they call their sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And even though there might be other shepherds around, those sheep will only follow their shepherd. And so that's why the word says that my sheep will know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so this is why David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." When he says that, although to you and I, it might seem like a simple phrase, but in that one passage, he is saying a whole lot about relationship. When he says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters, he's talking about provision. He's talking about the provision that comes out of that relationship, that he doesn't lack anything. The green pastures provide the nourishment for the sheep, and the still waters provide the peace and the tranquility and the refreshing that the sheep need. And then lastly, he says, he restores my soul. I love that part, because what he's saying is that my mind, my will, and my emotions are in such a state that they need to be restored. and I am connected to the one who restores my soul. If ever you are going through a challenge in your life, whether it be a physical challenge or whether it be a financial challenge, you're going to have some residue of that challenge in your soul. It's going to engage your mind, it's going to engage your will, and it's going to engage your emotions. And so I know that when David says he restores my soul, that means that he provides a restoration in my soul that takes me back to my original state of being, that is what God always intended. And that state is free from worry and anguish and stress and all of that other stuff that vexes us in our day-to-day lives. This thing is talking to me about relationship. Next passage that I want to show you is Psalm 51:17. And in it, David is talking about what he knows God desires, what type of sacrifice God desires. And so in verse 16, he talks about, you know, what type of sacrifice would be pleasing to God. And in verse 17, he says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart God will not despise. And one translation says, God will not overlook. And so that broken spirit is something that is attractive to God. And so when you begin to talk about being in relationship with him, you want to find out what's pleasing to the one you're in the relationship with. What are they like, right? Fundamental relationship 101 is find out what that person likes. Well, what God likes, what pleases him, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And so let's talk about what that means. A broken spirit is a spirit that recognizes that they are absolutely dependent on God, that they're totally reliant upon God. This is the person who realizes that they need God and that they can't make it without him. They are the person who realizes that they need him, and they have a constant awareness of how reliant they are upon him. It's moving to a place where you realize that your intellect, your belief system, the way you want things done, that all of that is of no consequence. That you desire God above everything. That's the kind of brokenness that is attractive to God. And so the second part of this is a contrite heart. Now, a contrite heart is a heart that is sensitive and can be molded and shaped by God. A contrite heart is a heart that is not just sensitive to other people around them, but that heart is sensitive to what the desire and the will of God is. When you realize how critical the heart is from a biological standpoint, you know that the heart is where blood is pumped and sent throughout the body. You know that a person can't survive if their heart isn't functioning. And we know that heart is where the life flows, right? And so in the spirit realm, your heart is literally the place where the desires of the heart reside. It's the center or the focal point or the control center of a person. The heart is, in fact, the throne of God. It is where God resides in you, in your heart. You know that when you came to know Christ, you confessed with your mouth and you what? Believed with your heart. So that is where everything emanates from, is your heart. And so when he says he is attracted to someone who has a contrite heart, he's talking about someone who has a heart to please God, who has a heart to surrender to God, who has a heart to help and to do the things that God desires, the things that are pleasing to God. And so this broken spirit and contrite heart, as we look at Psalm 51, verse 17, is important and it's attractive to God. And so you want to make sure that these are two things that you are working on and asking God to help you to obtain this broken spirit and a contrite heart. The last thing I'll share with you as it relates to developing an intimate relationship with God is that you must have a secret place. Now, a secret place is not a physical location, but it is instead an intentional decision to establish a routine that includes time with God. It's a decision to reserve a place for you and God to commune and to dwell, and that you make that a daily part of your life. And let me tell you why that's attractive to God. It's attractive to God because what it says to him is that I want to develop a relationship with you so much so that I'm going to make spending time with you a priority. Now, let me say this, whether you're talking about a relationship in the natural or whether you're talking about your relationship with God, love really, in many cases, is spelled T-I-M-E. That's right. Love is spelled time. And so how you spend your time and how you prioritize your time is an indication of your love. And so you want that secret place to represent your decision to make God a priority in your life. And so these are the things that will help you to develop an intimate relationship with God. Make time for him every day. Spend time with him and get your heart in a place where he can begin to guide you and direct you, where he can begin to reveal to you his will and his purpose for your life, and that you won't fight him, you won't resist him, you won't run from him, but instead you will be submitted to him and you will surrender to him. Now, let me say this about surrendering and submission. Many people submit enough to get saved, but not enough to be changed. Listen, submission that leads to change means that you have to give up some stuff, means that you have to let go of some stuff. It may mean you have to leave some relationships alone. It may mean you have to change the way you spend some time or be mindful of what you watch on television or the music that you listen to. Yeah, it means that you will have to make some changes as you submit to him. But let me tell you something, it is well worth it because there is nothing greater than an intimate relationship with God. If you have needs in your life, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, if you want to see a change in yourself, you just make it your priority that you will spend time seeking his face and not his hands, and you'll begin to see how that submission and that intimacy will begin to increase and grow, and you will be changed. And that's a beautiful thing, that you will be changed. I just want you to know that this is just a short teaching, but if you apply what you heard today, you are on the path to a awesome, wonderful, dynamic adventure with God, because there are places that he wants to take you, and there are things that he wants to do in you and through you that you don't even know yet because you have not drawn nigh to him. Listen, Jeremiah says it this way, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. So in other words, he's not going to leave you hanging. It is going to be a reciprocal relationship. Just like you desire one with him, he will desire to be with you. And that is what will take you to the next level. Wow. I hope you have enjoyed the teaching tonight. What an appropriate message on Valentine's Day to talk about your love relationship with God. I am excited about having the opportunity to share this with you and to thank you again for spending this time with me. If you'd like to reach out to me, I would love to hear from you. So you can use email. I can be reached at destinyempower@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at true_journey. I can also be reached on Facebook by Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries. I would love to hear from you and just to hear how the broadcast is touching your life and causing you to pursue a deeper relationship with God. I am looking forward to spending time with you when we get together again in the living room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to our next time together in the living room. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Key to Key. I am so glad that you all have tuned in this evening to the show. Thank y'all so much for all of my listeners. And listen, I just want to say, if you want to send out a shout out, if you want to say, you know, what's up, Key to Key, or if you got any prayer requests or anything, you can definitely hit me up by email. That is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. Or you can hit me up on social media, my social media sites, Facebook and Instagram at Key to Keet, and that is KETTAKEET. I definitely would love to hear from you. As you can hear, Key to Keet is a little under the weather, but that's all right. That is okay, because I'm still coming in strong. My body's getting strong, and my voice is going to be getting stronger. So the devil tried it, but it ain't finna go down like that. So thank y'all so much for tuning in with me this evening. I have an awesome guest this evening that I look forward to interviewing. She actually hails from Stony Creek, Virginia, and is a member of the Rocky Mount Baptist Church in McKinney, Virginia. Please, y'all, welcome my guest, my girl, Miss Monica Taylor. How you doing, Monica?
Good evening. Bless the highly favored. Hey.
Well, come on. Oh, man, thank you so much for agreeing to sit with me, to talk with me tonight. I just so appreciate it. Thank you so much. You are a fellow sister in comedy. I call my sisters in comedy, sisters in Christian comedy,
yes.
Definitely. So I just want to say thank you so much. And we're just going to go ahead and get started. So listen, how long have you been doing comedy? And when did you know that this is something that you want to pursue?
I actually been doing comedy for about 6 years now. I started January 2014. And actually, I never wanted to pursue comedy because I had terrible stage fright and I was afraid.
Oh,
of
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
if you'd have told me 10 years ago I've been doing comedy, I was like, no, not me, because I'm afraid.
Right. But
we had a talent show, a youth talent show at church, and a youth director, she was like, Monica, I need you to do something for me for the talent show. And I was like,
okay.
I thought they wanted me to host, you know, be the MC, because I'm always cutting up
right.
and being silly at church. And they
okay.
were like, no, we want you to do 15 minutes of stand-up. And
wow.
I'm telling you, before I could conjure up that no in my mind because of my stage fright, I'm telling you,
yeah.
like, the yes flew out of my mouth. So I started
oh, that's
at
awesome.
Church at the Youth Talent Show. Yep.
Wow. And you've been doing it ever since. What they say, like, the rest is history.
The rest is history. Somebody saw me that night and invited me to their church, and somebody saw me at that night at their church, invited me, and it's just been snowballing ever since. And once I got on
wow.
Facebook and word of mouth, yeah. So that's
well, that is that's awesome. And then you see how I work on that? Like, you know what? You're gonna get on your stage fright now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, that night it kind of what happened was that night, as soon as they introduced me and that guy, the MC, put that mic in my hand and I put my foot
yeah.
on that stage, like, I don't know, something, some kind of euphoria just took over and I just felt so comfortable. I
oh,
can't
wow.
remember being nervous right after that. Nope.
Wow.
Now I just get a little nervous before I'm about to go on, and then once I'm on, I'm good.
Right. So it's basically by the time you hit the stage, it's like, you know what? We out here now, Holy Ghost. Let's do it. So
yeah, let's do this. Exactly.
That is awesome. Now, that is an awesome story. Now, look, man, speaking of, you know, you're doing comedy, and you said that you had stage fright, but, you know, as soon as you mm-hmm. stepped on stage, it was like, you know what? I'm in here now. I felt great. You know, like you said, a little nervous. But I felt great doing it. Now, you know, on your social media page, I see that you describe yourself as a comedian in training, or a CIT. So
right.
just wanted to know if you can kind of explain or elaborate a little bit on what you mean by comedian training. Because, see, you've been doing this for 6 years. The first time you're doing it, it's like, Lord, I'm scared. Like, I don't do
right.
public speaking or anything like that.
Right.
But I'm doing it. So what do you mean by when you say comedian in training?
In training, because I've never had any kind of training. I've taken no classes.
Okay.
Nobody gave me any pointers. It's just, I've been to a lot of comedy shows and I watch a lot of comedy
yeah.
on TV. So I just kind of mimic what I saw. And, you
okay.
know, I've taken no joke writing classes. So I feel like I'm a baby in this thing.
Okay.
And I'm just learning. I'm just learning as I go along. That's how I feel. I'm just learning it.
Right.
As I go
And you
along.
Know what?
And I go to.
And to me.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
And when I go to, and I go to a lot of comedy shows.
Yeah.
I kind of study the comedians. I listen to the jokes, but also try to take note of their timing,
mm-hmm.
how they move, how they hold a microphone, you know, the first thing they
yeah.
say when they step on stage. So I just kind of take mental notes of, you know, that's why I say I'm in training.
Okay.
I'm learning as I'm going.
And actually, I was going to ask you, like, what are your comedian, like, like, what do I want to say? Like, the comedians that you pattern yourself after, some of your favorite comedians.
Oh, my favorite comedian is some more. You know,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of the other comedians or comics or female comics that I used to listen to, but they were more, what's that word I want, androgynous? So So to see someone like Samora, she keeps her hair done, she keeps her makeup, she can wear some of the baddest rags. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
more like
feminine. I can do with this and be feminine, you know, and be cute and get my hair did and stuff. So So my dress and my, you know, that comes from watching Samora. But
awesome.
I feel like my style, I kind of got my own little style, I guess. I
right. Absolutely. And you know what? When you said that, like, you're a comedian in training, I think many of us, when we first started, we were like that. You know, of course, we have our favorite comedians, our favorite comics, whether they're male or female. We will watch them and things like that. But we still had, like, our own style, or whatever. You know, a lot of us did not go to comedy school. I don't even know if that's, you know, did not sit down and actually and actually be like, you know what, this is what I want to do, you know, that type of deal. I was a cut up too. Like, I was a, you know, class clown or whatever. And I just used to like to make people, you know, same thing, right? Used to like make people laugh, and I just never liked to see people down. Exactly. And so you're a natural at what you do, and so it probably just came easy for you. Now, of course, having to get up in front of people, now that, you know, that's something different, because, you know, a lot of people are funny amongst their family, their friends. You know, you've heard people who, you know, you can sit down with with that uncle that have you laughing for hours, but. Can Uncle So-and-so get up on the stage with a microphone and say some of the same things that he said to make us laugh? Who knows? But but when you can do both, not just make people laugh, but make people feel good, encourage people and things like that, and actually get over your own fear in order to do it. So that is awesome within itself. So so that is great. Well, glory to God. Come on.
You just subscribe me, because I'm always going to cut up. I'm going to have a good time. I don't care if I'm at work, church. I don't care if I'm at school, whatever. I've always been that cut up. And I just like I said, I just love to see people happy. There's so much going on in the world. We got enough things to be sad and depressed about. I just want to be that light, you know, to make you laugh and forget about your problems.
Yeah. And that's the word, to be that light. And that's the important. Of course the Bible calls us to be the light, you know, to be that light in the world. So, and to me, I think it is important to know that you can be a comedian, you can be a singer, you can be a minister, whatever gift God has blessed you with, to be that light. It's not just, to me, to be a light, you just don't have to be a specific, you know, thing, you know, person, you know.
Exactly.
I think whatever gift God has blessed us with, he's blessed us with it for a reason, for us to be there. Like, so even if you're not standing on a stage, even if you are just cutting up with a family member or a stranger in the store, you know, I've had that to happen, you know, say something funny and, like, people you've never even met, you know, they're just laughing and have a good time. So who knows, that was the first time they laughed that day, they smiled that day. Definitely. So I think it's important. Absolutely. So let me ask you this. How do you come up with your material?
Oh, man. My material is mainly, I would say 50% of it, I talk about my mom and my life. And I make sure my mom is in the audience every time.
Right.
And I prepare. She know all my jokes. So I prepare. I say, look, Mom, just don't say nothing. Get ready. You know. So mostly it's life experiences. And me and my mom, we're like only 16 years apart. So we're mostly better friends than, the mother and daughter. Really, we have a great relationship. I talk about my family,
awesome.
my ex-husband. Oh, my, I got a million stories. And I think the other 40% is really self-deprecating. I talk about myself a lot. So, you know, I was looking at TV and the history of comedy. It said comedy is really just your life experiences with a punchline on the end. So that's what I do. I talk about myself, my life, my past, my And sometimes I use current events, not a lot, but I do current events too. So, and just
yeah,
add that
absolutely.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you just said. And I use my mom a few jokes too, and I tell her, I was like, you know, and I would tell the audience, and no need to snitch because my mama already knows. So don't even worry about it. And so I would come home and I'd be like, this is what I said about you. I tell you, she starts hollering, laughing. So it's just almost like it's
exactly.
like one of my biggest fans. But I also agree with you as
right.
far as life experiences as well. And I've said this before. Comedians, we tell jokes, but they're more like observations. So
that's it.
Yeah, things that we have experienced or things that we have seen. It's basically the art of storytelling. So if we can tell the story of how it happened to us and bring you into our world, that's where it hits the most. Cause, and you know, and I, you know, when people are really laughing, and I'll say, you know why it's so funny? Because it's true. So
and you can see yourself. When you can make people see themselves and laugh at themselves,
yes.
that's the best joke, the best joke.
Exactly.
And I embellish a little, and I exaggerate a little, but they can see themselves, and that's the funniest
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yes. You hit the nail on the head, because the word that came to my mind was relatable. Like, you know, people can relate to what you are saying, you know, because even if it's not them, they have a family member that's like that, or they've seen a member of their church. You know, that's, you know,
yep.
have, you know, that's like that or that, or whatever the situation is. So, yes, you hit the nail on the head, relatable. You are definitely,
exactly.
definitely right about that. So, Monica, let me ask you this, too. Do you for some reason, why do I feel that you already have something in your mind, like you're thinking about a story observation? You know, because we do that sometimes, like we'll just bust out laughing because something's going through
all
our mind,
time.
Going through our head.
Yeah, all the time. My mind is constantly thinking of jokes and stuff, and I'm telling you all the time. And a lot of times,
yeah.
you know, I'm inching to 50, so I gotta jot this stuff down.
Wow.
I got my phone full of notes, and I got little pieces of paper around the house.
Yes,
with punchlines.
I do the same thing. Yes.
Time.
Yes,
time,
I, like Holy Spirit will give me something in the car on the way to work, and I'm like, oh, let me talk text it, so I'll talk
yeah,
it like in my phone, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
So I, you know, yes, like I'm
yeah,
not texting
yeah.
behind the wheel. So
yep.
let me just talk it, you know, talk in my phone. So A, so I won't forget it, but B, I have to put it in how you know how he gives it to me. So, so I totally agree. I have a notebook or like you said, scrap pieces of paper and just hurry up and write it down, and
yep.
go back to it. So yeah, you are you hit the nail on the head with that one. Yeah, that happens to me a lot too. Yeah. Wow. So let me ask you this. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, I can relate. Like, and I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones, you know, the only ones that do it. Because, you know, jokes and stuff come to us at different, you know, different times.
I'm sure. Yep.
You know, if you're driving down the street, if you just so happen to see something, like this morning, I'll just use me as an example. You know, Mondays, everybody talks about Mondays. I enjoy Mondays. You know, I enjoy having my...
No, you can have it.
Thanks, Monica. Look,
you can have Monica.
Like, no, you can have it. Thanks
but
a lot, Mom. But I just, but no, I enjoy Mondays. But you know, this morning was, you know, it's cloudy here. It's, you know, kind of raining and stuff like that. And so, I'm sitting at the light, and you know, I'm just praying in the car, like, you know, Lord, thank you for this day, and all that. And I'm just sitting there, and I just so happen to turn my head. And I literally see something, and I'm laughing like everybody else saw it. And when I tell you, the light turned green, and I laughed all the way through the light, all the way up 95. And you know what I said? I said, thank you, Lord. That was just for me. No one
wow.
else saw it but me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it happened again. Something else happened on 95 while I was praying, and I bust out laughing again. And I said,
wow.
Thank you, Lord. It was only me who saw that too. So a lot of times God will show you things that, you know, that are just for you, that he'll give you jokes. And he'll show mm-hmm. you things, even if you can't put it in a joke. It's just almost like that was just for you. You're used to making other people laugh. I'm going to make you laugh today.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sure that has happened to me. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that we may not recognize at the time. But, mm-hmm. you know, I always say that God sometimes, you know, depending on the type of day that you may be having, like, you know, anything can happen. And sometimes you're looking around like, am I the only one who saw that? And the Lord be like, yeah, I did it just for you.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. A lot of stuff happens around the house. Like, I laugh at my own self, like, you know.
Right.
Like I said, I'm getting older, and I'm putting stuff in the wrong place. And I'm like, when did I do that? I don't even remember. But I'm laughing at myself a lot. I get it.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you can do that, when you can laugh at yourself and not take yourself so seriously, it causes you to have definitely just stay jovial, to have joy, but also be like, yeah. Well, Lord, I thank you. Because, you know, it's me. You know,
every
you know
day.
All about me. Yeah, every exactly.
Every day, I think. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. Do you see comedy as ministry?
Of course. That's
oh.
all it is to me, is ministry.
Wow.
That's what it is, exactly. And I feel like in my comedy shows, I always try to end with a message, or there's a message incorporate all messages incorporated throughout my whole set. I'm telling you.
Awesome.
You know,
yeah,
it's for somebody to get something. And sometimes I even say that I come to help somebody today. That's I'm telling you, I throw that in there today, you know. So that's I feel like you said, whatever our gifts are, especially the ones that we have that we had no training, nobody taught us how to do it. It's just coming natural. I feel like those are to uplift him and to help somebody. That's all it's about. So, yeah, I definitely see my comedy as a ministry. Always.
That's awesome. That's definitely awesome. And for me, you know, and of course I've asked this question before, and for the most part, everybody does say they do see that as ministry. And then they explain their different situations of why and how it has become ministry to them. And not even, you know, of course, in the church, you know, but also outside of the church, you know, of course. And, of course, that's where ministry is. Ministry is outside of the church as well, you know, having to interact with people and things like that, and minister to other people. So it's just interesting to ask that question, but to also see or hear the different situations of how it's used. So it's definitely used to uplift, but I've also found, you know, people mm-hmm. talk about that when they found out, you know, depending on the situation, like people open up to you more, you know,
okay.
to come and talk to you more, you know, things like that. Even not just to get a laugh or whatever, but when people know, like, you know, she liked to cut up, but she liked the joke or whatever.
Okay.
So maybe if mm-hmm. I go to them and, like, just talk to them a little bit, you know, maybe I'll laugh a little bit. But sometimes after a while, they'll start opening up a little more to you, sharing some other personal things. So then it comes from comedy ministry to maybe, you know, ministry, you know, actually witnessing or encouragement. You know,
well,
or words for that day.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if you can feel my personality, but I feel like I have a different personality where I get along. Like, I don't want to say this, but I work with a lot of the opposite race.
Yeah.
And at break time, I'm the center of attention. Everybody's, they can't wait until I walk in that break room. You know,
oh,
and
wow.
I cut up with those guys, and, you know, I feel like because the job that I have, it is, I don't want to say it's depressing. I thank God for it, but
yeah,
you know,
it's a little different.
yeah. Yeah.
Well, a little different, so, yeah.
For somebody like me to be in there cutting up, you know, I feel like I bring light and joy. And, you know, I've gotten so many compliments on my personality.
Awesome.
Well, they expect me to be the angry black woman. They expect me to be that way. And I twist that thing all the way around, you know, and I make them laugh. I end up making them laugh at themselves or sometimes at me. I just try to lighten the whole situation up. So
And
a lot of them do. When it's one-on-one, I get with them one-on-one. I have gotten, Monica, what do you think about this? Oh, what do you think about that?
Wow, praise God.
You know, and I never realized, you know, it's probably part of my my personality, I believe. I'm easy to talk to, I guess.
Yes.
And they know I go to church, you know. So, you know, I come with a whole different perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I enjoy it.
And praise God. And that's what it's all about. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and of course, you know, we're being a light, you know, no matter where we are, even when our workplaces are different. We just use that word. Even when our workplaces are different sometimes, or our situations are different at times, we can still be a light. You know, God calls us to be a light no matter what. So, so it helps you. It, to me, it's a win-win-win. It's what I call like the triple win. It helps you as well. It helps you. And, you know, you sharing the gift that God has blessed you with. It also helps the person that you are encouraging. But at the end of the day, God gets the glory because he put that gift in you. So it's I call it the triple win. Win to the third power. That's right.
Triple win.
Is that win cubed? Is that what it is? Win cubed? Cubed. That's
it.
I'm trying. You know, the two is like win squared. Yeah,
that's two. Just say three times.
There you go. Look, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I know. Come on, I've been out of school almost over 30 years. I can't remember.
Look, I tried it, Moni. Yeah. Like, wait,
yeah,
hold on now. The second is win squared, so three is cubed. We'll go with it. Win cubed. Okay.
All right.
It's the triple.
Put that in my notes.
Come on. You can have it, honey. There you go.
I got it, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I got it.
Look at it. But you got it, though. Yeah, listen, you don't even have to worry about it. God's going to fix that thing right on up for you.
Yes,
he is. It's all about sharing.
Won't he do it?
He done already done it. Come on. But now, look, what is next for Monica Taylor? Do you have any upcoming engagements, any projects, or is there anybody that you would love to work with in the very near future?
I'm glad you asked that because I had two cancel engagements for this past Saturday, February the
8th. Oh, wow, okay.
And one was a 75th birthday party. And And I had just performed for this lady's church twice. So I'm like, do you want me back again? I said, I must have been here the third time. They want to see me. But anyway, so I said, I'm going to do something different. So I'm actually right now working on this character. It's an older lady, but she's different. Like, that's been done before, but she's a little different. My older lady character is a little different. I haven't even named her yet, but I was going to plan on bring her out. Yeah, I was going to bring her out this weekend. I got an outfit and shoes and everything. So that's something I'm working on right now.
Okay,
I haven't even named her. But I've been working on some jokes for her. Just something different. And
Absolutely.
So let me tell you, the first gospel comedian I ever heard of, didn't know what such thing was. His name is Broderick Rice. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Oh, yes. He is amazing.
Broderick.
Yeah.
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 So I've had a VHS shape of him for about 15 years, right? Never. That's before he ever thought about doing comedy, anything. So he was the first person I ever saw do it. I think Wendy Lee was the first person I ever see it doing in person.
Okay.
So I got an invitation this a couple of weeks ago. The guy said, "Monica, I'm having a comedy show at my church. I want you to open up for Broderick Rice." I said, "You got to be kidding me. You kidding me?"
Oh, my goodness.
Me. Yeah,
that is awesome.
We're waiting on him to respond to the email. I'm like, this thing went a whole 360 degrees.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And I may find that character to that show. We'll see. The debut her there. But we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm waiting.
Glory to God.
Waiting on Broderick to answer his email.
Monica, that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, this, I'm so excited. I don't even know what to do.
Oh my god, I'm excited for you. That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Well, we're still waiting on confirmation.
That's all right. Hey, I will put my face with yours.
Come on now.
Look.
Yes.
Come through, confirmation.
Come on. Yep. So I'm excited. I'm so excited about that. So in the meantime, I'm going to work on this character and see, you know, what I can do different to make her different than all the other, even the Medeas, the Charlenes, anything different. I can make her different and funny.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got an old soul
and it's
anyway,
always
so
good.
It'll be easy.
Monica, I am excited for you. And it's just always good, like as comedians, like we're always working on our craft. You know, we don't settle, in just what we were doing years and years ago. Like we're always working on it, you know, so that is definitely important. I'm so excited for you. That is awesome. And you said Wendy Lee, shout out to our sis Wendy Lee as well. Who was doing it as well. I just love all of y'all because I just see y'all as my sisters in comedy, you know.
Absolutely.
And
I'm a baby.
That's and it's nothing wrong with that.
Baby.
Nothing wrong with that either, you know. And of course, the Bible talks about, and don't despise all small beginnings, because this is just the beginning, you know, just going to keep on going higher and higher from here. So I am truly excited, excited for you and everyone, all of us, for what we're doing, for the kingdom of God. And encouraging other people as well, you know, and like we said, here's that word again, being a light. A light to those who we come in contact with. So I'm excited about that. That is awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate you too.
Yo, praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now listen, how can people get in contact with you so they can book you? Can you share your social media, your email address, or how they can reach you?
Yeah. Facebook, that's Monica Taylor, comedian in training. You will see it. And Instagram is Moni, M-O-N-I, the number 5, X, and S. That's Moni 5 times. Because usually when I come on stage, I use the song, the OJs, money, 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 money. So it's Moni 5.
Love it, yes.
M-O-N-I-5-X-S, yes. And email monica.taylor1970@gmail.com. Hit me up, holla.
I love that, especially the OJ song. Oh, I'm here for that. I like that. Monica, I just want to say thank you so much for your time, for taking your time out to talk with me and to have my listeners know what you're up to. And I will say this, I pray nothing but continual blessings over you and your ministry.
Thank you. Everything that you
put your hand to, put your voice on, whatever it is that you're doing, that God will continue to increase it more and more.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. You are so welcome, and I'm truly excited. So please definitely keep me posted for the upcoming engagement. Like you said, and like I said, I'm putting my faith in your faith that confirmation coming through. Come on.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, we can do it. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you. Just thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, bless you. You are certainly welcome. Certainly welcome. And y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in to Chat and Chuckle. You all have an awesome rest of your evening. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.